You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I am super excited and honored for today's guest. Craig is known by his clients as the world's most disciplined man, but he was born lazy and introverted and also suffered from crippling anxiety attacks. He has then spent years inventing systems that make success automatic for anyone. He has built his Turbulence Training Fitness business to over 151,000 customers and 15 million YouTube views, and he also owns EarlyToRise.com. In his first book, The Perfect Day Formula, which has helped over 35,000 high performers own their day and take back control of their lives. Today, Craig coaches entrepreneurs to make more money and work less using his techniques in his Wall Street Journal's bestseller, Unstoppable, and his new book, The Perfect Week Formula. I'm excited and honored to welcome Craig Ballantyne today to Making Bank.
Hey man, this is gonna be so much fun.
Awesome, super pumped and excited, and I've been meaning to have you on the show for a few years now, and it's just—
Oh, this is so cool.
We kept missing each other, and like I'd see you at events, and it's just like, man, I gotta get him on the show. And then, so when we were at Joel's at 100M, I was just like, all right, gonna come up, we're gonna get you on, and it's gonna happen now. So
perfect.
But no, I love your content that you've got, that you put out there. Read through The Perfect Day Formula. I utilize a lot of that in my life all the time. My kids have read through it, and they, you know, they have their whole morning routine and stuff that they do, and we do that every day. So it's awesome to have you on the show finally. So
Thank you.
Well, super. Well, tell me a little bit about your background. I guess, obviously, as I mentioned in the bio, introverted like myself, you know, getting, you know, how you kind of transitioned from that space into being an entrepreneur, being out there everywhere, 15 million YouTube views. So obviously you're on video, you're always on Instagram. So I guess tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Yeah, so I grew up on a farm in Canada, which is where I am right now. And in Canada, you do two things. You play hockey and drink beer, or you drink beer and then play hockey. Sometimes, it doesn't matter which order. So that's the way I was in high school, using alcohol to kind of get through a lot of the social settings and stuff like that. Went on, and I wanted to be a strength and conditioning coach in the National Hockey League, of all things.
Oh, wow.
And then in 2000, I started my first email newsletter in 1999.
Okay.
And check this out. I was running it through Hotmail, and I had 3,000 people. Somehow I got 3,000 people through referrals and all this stuff, but I kept all the emails in a Word document, and I had to copy and paste 50 of them at a time and put them in the BCC of Hotmail, and it took me 75 minutes to send out my weekly email.
That's hilarious.
So this is like 1999, 2000. Yep. I didn't know what I was doing. Started selling stuff. I sold my first product online on January 28, 2001, and I remember this because I kept a spreadsheet, but I got lucky, and I sent one of my email newsletters to the fitness editor of Men's Health magazine, the biggest magazine in the world, in 2000. They put me in the magazine. That gave me critical credibility, and then people started contacting for me. Eventually, I started this thing called Turbulence Training, and then in 2006, when I was making more money than I ever thought possible, more money than I'd ever make as a strength and conditioning coach in the National Hockey League for sure, I actually had too much freedom in my life, and I call it the paradox of freedom. Everybody thinks they want freedom and not have to do anything, anytime, anywhere, but we actually thrive on structure. When it's structure from other people, we resist it, but when we put the structure in place, like when your kids put your morning routine in place, they thrive on that and probably rebel a little bit against when the teacher tells them what to do. So I had these anxiety attacks from that, from drinking too much, from staying up too late, from getting up too early in the morning, from working 12 hours, from being introverted and holding all my problems inside, suffering in silence. And that led to the emergency room visit. So the trips to the emergency room, the anxiety stuff, then made me realize I needed more structure in my life. And from more structure in my life, I started building out the Perfect Day systems, which, you know, I put into that book. It took me a couple of years to figure it out. But when I did, then I started getting all these entrepreneurs you know, seven-figure entrepreneurs, six-figure entrepreneurs, beginner entrepreneurs, reaching out and saying, hey, I've had anxiety too, or I need to be more productive. And that's, you know, people joke about the world's most disciplined man thing. But it was mostly came from like people were like, how can you be so productive? How can you write articles for Early to Rise and Turbulence Training? You're putting out so much content. You're doing YouTube videos. And I was like, well, I just have all these systems in place. And so that kind of morphed into the most disciplined man kind of joke and shtick. But it really was, if you have these systems and formulas in place, right, man, you can get a ton done even without working more hours.
No, that's for sure. I mean, I know that's one of the big things that I've utilized over the years for myself is just, you know, blocking out time. So my morning time, what time I check emails, and just kind of mapping everything out throughout my day, which is what you talk about, you know, in a lot in your book and everything. And that's just become me. That's what.
And another thing that that people miss is that they miss. Well, it's one thing to block out your day.
Sure.
But there's another little magic thing where you match your energy levels, your focus, your creativity, your biological rhythms with your toughest activities.
Okay.
Now, in most cases, you know, it's classic, eat that frog first thing in the morning.
Right.
That's going to work for a lot of us. But there's also going to be other things, you know, or you have young kids and you can't do it right away. Well, you got to schedule it and you got to know yourself. And we do a little bit of self-reflection in some of our exercises. I have people keep a time journal, like a food journal.
Okay.
And it's just, how do you feel? What are you doing? Why are you doing this over the course of the day? And then you realize, you know, if I could just have from 11 o'clock till 12:30 every day, I would go and I'd be able to crush work. That's when I get in the flow. And our friend Joel Marion, you know, that guy built a $100 million supplement company working from 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. because it worked for his biological clock. There's not a whole lot of distractions at 10 o'clock at night through 4 o'clock in the morning, and you can get a lot done. And I match the early morning to my energy levels and focus, and he matched the late night. And hopefully everybody can make time. You don't find time, you make time. You make time for what matters, and you build that system and structure, and you build a fence around yourself so that distractions don't come in when you have to do the deep work.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. And it was interesting too. I interviewed Nir Eyal with Indistractable, and that's what we've talked about was, you know, all the little distractions. It's not just like your device anymore. It's, you know, people that may, if you have an office space, people that come over and are asking you questions all the time, all day long. You know, those distractions or not. Being distracted when you're spending time, you know, with your kids or your family and not being present in that moment too. So
look at two environments, your local environment and your global environment. So your local environment right now, unless you're driving a Tesla, if you're driving a Tesla, you can do this. But if you're driving a regular car, don't do this. But if you're sitting at your desk, put your arms out to the side and then just rotate around. So that's your local environment. Now look at all the distractions that are within your local environment. You've got your phone, you've got your computer, you've got a book that you haven't read, but now when you have to do that hard work, that book is looking pretty, you know, irresistible right now. Now you got M&Ms and you got, you know, something else. And so there's a whole bunch of things. Now, all you have to do is move those things into another room and you'll increase your productivity 20-30% because you're indistractable. So that's one thing. And then there's the global environment, which is, what kind of environments are you putting yourself in? What kind of network do you have? Because, hey, listen, you and I go to masterminds. We invest in a lot in it. And just being in the room with people who are like, oh, man, they're doing that and I'm only doing this. I got to up my game. And you become more indistractable that way. So those two things are super, super important. And listen, I have to rely on some of these little hacks too. Like I put my phone on airplane mode. I power it down. I put it in another room in a desk drawer. Those four things, because I'm addicted to that phone like everybody. And there are days I get all the way to taking it out of airplane mode and I hit my hand and I put it back in the drawer and I go, get back to work, man. Get back to work. You're supposed to be the discipline guy.
And, the world's most disciplined
and the way
guy,
that I,
yeah.
Yeah. And I describe my discipline is through subtraction, not addition. Most people, when they think discipline, they think like Jocko Willink, okay, I got to become a hard ass. I got to, you know, do this. I got to do that. It's like, no. No, let's make you indistractable by removing all of those things. Because if you had, you know, if you had to write an essay just for any task, like, okay, if I put you in a room where there's a whole bunch of distractions and you had to write an essay, well, it'd be hard. But if I put you in a room where there was nothing but you and the computer computer, no internet access. You could only access a Microsoft Word document. You twiddle your thumbs for a few minutes, but then you'd get it done because you've subtracted all the things. So those two things, like if people are looking like, oh, and next year I'm going to be super disciplined. That's going to be my New Year's resolution. Well, hey, why don't we make it easy? Because I am actually like super lazy at heart. And, you know, I'd love to sit around and watch television and stuff like that. Well, why don't I just get rid of television? Get rid of chocolate covered almonds. Get rid of the potato chips. Get rid of the this, that, or the other thing. And now you're left with nothing to do but the work. And then you can go and be proactive later. Because to your second point about where people struggle to be present, and the entrepreneur, the traditional entrepreneur, is always thinking about home when they're at work and thinking about work when they're at home.
Yep.
It's a total curse. I get it. And what we have found, and what I truly believe is, I steal this from, like, I don't know if it's from the Constitution or whatever, but I believe in the separation of work and home life, like separation of work of church and state, whatever that phrase is. So I'm like, yeah, I want to do that too. So I have people do these little rituals and routines with their kids. So I have this one guy, he owns a coffee company called caffeineandkilos.com, and they sell weightlifting t-shirts, not white powder is the kilos part, in case you're wondering. He's a really great guy, Danny Lair.
Okay.
And Danny came to one of my workshops, and Danny was like, you know, I go home and, you know, he's got kids that are like 8 and 5, you know, the classic 35-year-old entrepreneur, seven-figure business. And I'm like, you know, and then I'm like on the phone and it just feels like I'm working all the time and I'm never fully present. Classic. So I said, okay, and I'm a big believer in rituals and routines that separate, you know, like everything from like, here's a ritual that signifies I'm writing copy, you know, and I heard this one about John Carlton. He walks around his desk once and he wears the same sweatshirt. And when he sits down, he writes. And Robert Greene, the famous author, works on the same clickety clack typewriter, you know, just with no distractions. And it's the same thing for when we go home. So when Danny goes home, I told him, when you go in the house and your kids come up to you, you're going to say, hey, it's time for us to put daddy's phone in the phone bed. And they made a little bed out of an egg carton box and they put a little blanket over it and the phone is off. And he goes and he's present with his daughter and his son and they have a good time. And then here's the cool thing, in a way, is that after about 20 or 30 minutes, your kids are pretty much done with you. Like, they're like, okay, this was fun. I love you, daddy, but like, I don't want to hang around you any longer. And he goes, all I had to do was give him 20 minutes of focused present time. And then I could go back to the phone if I wanted to. And it was really big. You know, I put it in the Perfect Week Formula book because it was such a game changer for him and a lot of other people. And it's just, don't let the temptation be there. If you want to stop something, if you want to be present, don't bring the phone to meetings, because research shows that if the phone is even turned down on the table and you're having a business meeting, your attention is 10 to 20% less because the phone is on the table.
Okay.
You're waiting, right? Because we're waiting for the phantom buzz to show up in our head. And so I try not to take it, but it's difficult because you're like confirming times and locations and stuff. So it is super difficult to get away from those things. But if I can, you know, leave it in a jacket, put the jacket somewhere, you know, on the chair or something, so it's not visible, and it will make a difference.
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't realize that difference about the meetings and stuff too, because I always try to put it down and just move it off to the side or something. But yeah, I would probably just, I don't know, leave it in the pocket or
something.
That's the problem.
Like, I almost wish I carried a purse now, but I don't. You know, it's like
that sounds good. You got the iPhone,
the 12-inch iPhone stuffed into your jeans. It's like there's not room for all that stuff down there.
No, it's not. And that's interesting too. You brought up the whole thing about what Danny has done. I've done that for years. Is just as soon as I come home, the phone goes in my office, put my stuff away, and then it's out, family time and hanging out. Because you do, if it's laying on the counter, you walk over, I got a text from Craig. Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's something like that, and you just don't know.
And I came up with that one. I mean, that's obviously a clear idea. You know, it's not like I invented that idea. But did you meet Isabel from the 100 Million Mastermind Group? Isabel, she sells her program's called the Diet Solution Program. Anyways, she's
I remember who she was. Yep.
Yeah. She's a classic home entrepreneur. And, you know, home office. Yep. And then at a certain time of day, she leaves the home office and has to go, you know, she homeschools her kids and plays with the kids and sort of thing. But a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with the switching from super entrepreneur to super mom or super dad. And it was another little ritual that I came up with that really helped her. which is before she leaves her office, because she knows that she's going to go out there. And even if the phone's not with her, she's going to be thinking about, oh, did I do this? Should I do that? And one little three-buddy parent or not is a brain dump. So at the end of your workday is get all the thoughts out of your head onto a scrap piece.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Write down all the not a call and the three meetings you got to do and the two or three major projects and the errands you got to run. You just get it out of your head. And all, you know, now the weight of the world is off your shoulders. And you go, oh, okay, great. And now she can, you know, I told her to do the little ritual of take that paper and then put it in a desk drawer and shut the drawer. And that signifies the separation of work and home life. And now you go and be present with your boys. And maybe like Sheryl Sandberg, I really love this from Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In. You know, when her husband was still alive, unfortunately he passed away, but they were always home at 5 o'clock for dinner with their young kids. And then they would both go back to work, sometimes physically leave the house, most of the time just work at home. But it was that, hey, we can stop at 5 o'clock and we're going to get the work done later and it's all going to be fine. And that's just how it's going to go. And we make that strong commitment to it. And she let, you know, she was super COO and then she was super mom and then she went back to work. So just understand, everybody listening, that there's rituals and routines that you can put in place that will allow you to be intensely focused on what you're doing. And that's how you, when you see these people who are like, how do they get it all done? You're like, they're more successful. They have another kid than I do. How are they? And they do triathlons, you know, one of those people, right? Like, really, how do you get all this done? It's because of it is truly intense focus. And then probably a reduction in the stuff that they hold on to, you know, the small stuff, like they delegate probably a lot better. And everybody listening, as you go up the ranks, learn what really matters that only you can do. I call it being the Oprah of your business. If Oprah came in and ran your business, what would Oprah do?
Right.
She wouldn't be setting up the lighting and ordering the catering and all that stuff. She would only be doing what Oprah can do. And I want you to take that same mindset with your business. And then that will help you realize, like, yeah, there are other people who can do some of these things better than I can. I'm going to get them off to them. And now all of a sudden you're getting more done in less time.
Utilizing these different strategies and everything to set up our days and everything. And then moving that into, I guess, with the new book you have is the Perfect Week Formula. So kind of give us a little insight on what that is and how that's stretching now what we're doing on a daily basis for the week, I guess, is what I'm.
Yeah. So the theme of the Perfect Week Formula, it boils down to these, I think it's 12 words. Build your business around your life and not your life around your business. So when I was a young, young single entrepreneur who had the anxiety attacks, I was building my life around the business, right? Like, oh, I don't have anything to do on Wednesday night, so I'll just sit here and work more.
Right.
Well, listen, that only goes for so long. Like when you got kids, you can't do that. So we start with the entrepreneur, and I really truly believe like this is not just about getting more free time. This is actually about making you a better CEO, better founder, better entrepreneur, everything, and taking back control of your health, of whatever may have gone missing in the last little bit, relationships, et cetera. And so you put the bumpers and boundaries on your schedule first. Most people think I go to my calendar, I put all my work stuff in, and then I try and fit in some life. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to do the opposite. It's like when you take a little kid bowling, the first thing you do, you put up the bumpers on the so they don't roll a gutter ball. And we're putting up bumpers so that you don't roll gutter balls in life. And one of the main impetus for writing this book was I hang around Bedros Koulian. Have you met Bedros before?
Bedros is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he was at the one day of Joel's event, and I spent a lot of time with him. He and I run coaching groups and podcasts. And the thing is, though, every Wednesday, it doesn't matter if I've flown all the way from Canada down to see him. He at 5 o'clock, he goes, all right, buddy, you're on your own. It's date night tonight for me and my wife. And sometimes I actually had to babysit the kids because they couldn't find a sitter. So I was like, hey, thanks. I'm babysitting the kids. You're out having date night. You know, what kind of shtick is this? But it was every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. He leaves the office. He has 55 employees. He has 800 franchisees out there for his Fit Body Bootcamp franchise. And he does that because that's the non-negotiable that goes on the calendar first. Now, if he has that, if he has to be done by 5, what do you think the rest of Wednesday looks like? Do you think he's scrolling Instagram? No, he's a machine, right?
Right. And, oh, yeah.
And so if we go about it with like, hey, listen, we want to have date night. We want to have, we have these two important things for the kids. I'm not missing hockey practice or piano or whatever it is. And then, you know, Sunday, if you're faith-based, we always go to church on Sunday, and we always go to grandma's house for dinner on Sunday evening. And then Saturday afternoon, like, we always hit Top Golf or something cool with the kids. Like, those things go on the calendar first. And now you're like, oh, I got to get serious here about my time if I got to get all this other stuff done. And then we do some planning stuff first. So we take that brain dump, and there's actually three steps to that process now. So Originally it was just do a brain dump so you're not stressed.
Right.
But then I realized if you're doing your to-do list in the morning, you're doing it too late. You know, because there's a cool book out called When, the Perfect Science of Doing Everything. It's by Daniel Pink, very famous author. And he has from the book that says you have the greatest willpower, discipline, and intention in the morning. So the greatest willpower, discipline, intention in the morning. And this is like one of God's fun little tricks. It gives us the greatest discipline in the morning, and he gives us chocolate cake at night. Can you want to match those up? You know. So we wake up in the morning, and most people will go, yeah, I can get more done in the morning. You have less distractions, less temptations. So if you're doing your planning for the day in that magic time, you're really missing out. So we do that brain dump at night. We write down all those things. Then step two is we organize the 18 things into a priority to-do list. And that gives us like, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I delegate this. This errand I have to run. This call I have to do. I'm going to cancel this thing. It's not worth my time. And these are my two most important tasks for the morning. Great. Now you're rocking and rolling. And then I realized that the most successful people from, you know, I read a lot of biographies, and it was always like T. Boone Pickens was one I read recently. When he was around, he was the most prepared person in his team meetings. Even when he was a billionaire at age 68, he was still the most prepared person in the meeting. And I realized like, hey, people can do a to-do list, but if you can go another step in that, you become the most prepared person in the room and you're going to accelerate your results. And so the third step is what I call process planning. And I think I might even have stolen or copied the idea from Chip and Dan Heath in their book Switch, which is about habit change. Say you want to make any habit change. So real simple example is if you want to take up morning exercise and you're not an exerciser and you wake up in the morning and go, oh, my clothes are in the drawer across the room. It's too cold here. I'm not going to get up and do it. Well, if you put the exercise clothes right beside the bed, it makes the path smoother. So if we think to our most important tasks that we put on our to-do list, we think, what can I do right now, tonight, before I work on the project at 9 o'clock in the morning that will make it easier for me to get into it? Because again, as a writer, if I say to myself, Craig, most important task is to write chapter 2 for the book tomorrow. Great. I open up this computer that I'm on right now and there's a blank Word document looking at me at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, you know, the caffeine hasn't kicked in. But if I came up with 5 bullet points, like, hey, make sure to talk about this, tell this story, gotcha. Do this, this, and this.
Okay.
Now I only have to write 300 words on 5 things. I got prompts and that stuff flows out of me. So if you got to do a PowerPoint, put a couple of bullet points down. Even if your morning routine involves, like, I work with a lot of faith-based entrepreneurs and they're like, you know, I really wish I had more time for Bible study. I'm like, you're an entrepreneur. You control your time and you're really, this is really important to you and you're not making time for 5 minutes. Open the Bible, put it out on your table and you go right to it first thing in the morning and then you can go on to something else. Like, that's the simple thing that we have to do for the things that we say matter and all the other stuff. But because I have this little shtick about morning routines that, you know, because there is actually an article on Inc.com called The 14 Things Successful People Do Before Breakfast. And if you add them up, somebody added them up on some other site and said it takes 4.5 hours to do all of those 14 things. And a lot of them are stupid, like check your email. Like, well, you could probably wait till later.
Right.
It's not the first thing you need to do. And so a lot of people have these, what I call, they've turned their morning routines into perverse forms of procrastination. So they get up and they do gratitude journaling and freeform journaling and yoga and meditation, interpretive dance. And it's like, okay, now it's 7:30 in the morning. You've been up for 2.5 hours and you haven't gotten anything done and you're stressed because they heard that Tony dives into a plunge pool and Russell does this and Gary Vee does this and Josh does this. So I got to do all these things. Like, no, you don't. You got to do this one thing that I call the farm boy morning routine. Cause I grew up on a farm and on a farm. Yeah. When I grew up on the farm, the first thing you do is you feed the cows because the cows, and this is unfortunate, they don't take a single day off eating all year long. So you have to feed them every day. And it's like the most important thing you have to do. So you get up and you go to work And so I tell people, get up, go down to your kitchen table for 15 minutes and work on your number one priority first thing in the morning, whether it's a problem to solve, like maybe somebody's got some credit card debt and they need to sit there and think about how to get out of it. Or maybe it's a great marketing opportunity. They got to sit down like, hey, we got a hot offer that's working. I got to write 10 new Facebook ads to test out today.
Okay.
Do it first thing in the morning when you have the greatest willpower, discipline, and intention. So those are just some little changes. When you apply them, they become huge leverage points. They take somebody from $250,000 a year to $2.5 million. Like, they are true 10Xers when you put them all together.
That's awesome. And no, it's cool. I'm picking up all these additional things that are super awesome, because it's like, you're like, all right, sweet, I got these things working and these things working. And it's like, oh, wait, you know, Craig's talking about this, he's talking about that, you know, and then it's like, all right, cool. Where can, you know, how can you piece those in, or where's the best place to insert those in to what you're doing now?
Yeah. And that's a great question. And it starts with the self-knowledge. And one of the exercises we do is we have the people do the time journal, as I mentioned before. And this comes from my fitness background, is when we had people who struggled to lose weight and we had them use a food journal, research studies showed that they lost up to 30% more weight, because now you're not like, yeah, I ate perfect today. And your mind totally forgets about the two cookies you had when you got home from work.
Right.
Okay, if you got to write everything down, you go, oh. And then you make the association about, why is that happening? Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up, every day I came home from school and I would turn on the TV and eat two Oreo cookies. And that's a nervous system habit that's been ingrained for 30 years. And now you're doing it and you got to figure out something else that will circumvent that. But you don't find that out until you do the food journal. Same with the time. You go back to the time and you go, why every day am I going to ESPN.com at 11 o'clock? And it's often because you're one of four things: hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And that's the whole thing that Bedros learned from his psychiatrist or the psychologist, yep, or whatever it was. And you know, like, you act out, you quote unquote start acting out when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And so I had an OCD loop of going through Facebook and my stats and my ESPN and my email at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I realized it was because I've been working for a while and I just need to go outside and take a walk. And if I took a walk, I could come back in and go right back to work. Instead of going 45 minutes through those junky websites, I just spent 10 minutes getting some fresh air and I was back on track. So you'll start to notice those things. And then when you know your best self, now you can take the principles, because it's, my life is not your life, and how I what time I get up is not the time you're supposed to go.
Right.
Very much like Joel and I were opposites and still successful. And so now you take the principles and you plug and play the right ones in for you. And you take your days from, like, you know, I'm consistently like 7.5 out of 10 nailing my days. You get up to like a 9 out of 10, 5-6 days a week, you know, depending on how much you work. But, you know, 5 work days, you're running at 9 out of 10. Man, you're going to be unstoppable next year.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. That's awesome. Well, cool. We only got a few minutes left. What would be some last couple insights, tactics, strategies that you're like, man, I really got to tell people this because this is going to transform their lives, and this is what it is.
You know, I think a lot of people struggle with the bedtime and the wake-up time. And my mentor, a guy named Mark Ford, he wrote all these books under the name Michael Masterson. You probably have Ready, Fire, Aim.
Yep, Ready, Fire, Aim. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he, you know, he put out this, you know, like, advice when I was 25, and I resisted it for 7 years. But when I finally took it, it made a huge difference. And it's so simple. It's go to bed at the same time every night, get up at the same time every day. And it's also research proven that if you have sleep problems, this is the first place that every sleep doctor will start. Just go to bed at the same time, okay? Because if you're all over the place, it's difficult in the routine. Now, most people will say, I want to go to bed at 11 o'clock tonight. And then, you know, they're looking at their watch and it's 11:30. Man, I'm not even ready yet. And so we put in this little system called the reverse alarm. And maybe people have heard about this, but the reverse alarm is just so simple but so effective. And when you do the reverse alarm, what you're going to do is simply set up an alarm for an hour before bed. So if you want to go to bed at 11 o'clock, you set it up at 10 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, you have to turn off the electronics, okay? Because when you turn off the electronics, that does a couple of things. Because electronics can keep you up in a couple of ways. One, the blue light. Yeah, you can have blue light blockers, but that doesn't stop you from having Facebook drama and Instagram drama and email drama and all that sort of stuff. So if we shut that down an hour before bed, now we're left with what some of my friends call Amish hour, but also as I like to say, you're just left with old school activities. You can talk to your spouse. You can talk to your kids. You can, you know, if you have young kids, read them a story. You can read a book yourself. You can have a bath. You can do all of these things that kind of wind you down so that you can fall asleep on time. And when you fall asleep on time, you get up on time. You have more energy. You know, we're not 18 forever. So eventually, if you're keeping crazy hours and you're only sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night, it will catch up to you. And I think that was part of the anxiety attacks that I had. And I had a lot of friends who, once they hit like 33, 35, started to have something. I had the anxiety. Other guys had digestive issues. Other guys had other stress. And because we were running full tilt, and you just can't. So those two little things, you know, the sleeping consistency and the reverse alarm are just another couple of things that we didn't cover, because we covered a lot of the other goodies in there that will help people get more done. And when you can get more done, you can make more money.
Awesome, man. And Craig, tell us where, so I know your books just came out for the Perfect Week Formula. Where can they go find it at and get more information on what you have going on and everything?
Yeah, so perfectweekformula.com for that one. And if you want to go back and get the full Perfect Day kit, which is like all these scripting pads and gratitude journals to really help you dial in your day, go to perfectdayformula.com. That's the one thing that really helped Russell Brunson out a couple years ago. So you can grab that cool stuff there and then hit me up on Instagram. I'm a big Instagram user at RealCraigValentine. Or heck, if you want to email me, I'm old school too. So craig@godfather.com if you want to catch me on the email.
I know. I liked your email. I saw it come through and I was like, that's great. Like, why did I ever think of that?
It's not even, like, I don't even own that domain. One of my friends bought and sold domain names a long time ago. And someday some guy let that expire and he grabbed it up and he only lets his friends use it for email.
That's cool. That's awesome. Guys, I hope you guys are really taking notes while you're watching this. Craig jammed in a ton of information that's going to help you make big changes. It's these small little things, these small little tweaks that you can do right now today to change your life, to change your habits, to change your routines, and to add additional things to really amp up what you're doing and move you to that next level. So go back, rewind, listen, watch this again, and make sure you guys are taking notes. So, Craig, just an honor to have you on the show Making Bank today, and really appreciate your time.
Lots of fun, man.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, and sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.